This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. Across the country, schools now work to prevent a shooter from entering their building. There are also drills in case someone does open fire.
You're supposed to lock the door, shut it, and not open it for anyone. I've talked to a lot of teachers who that's their biggest fear is if that happens and they have a couple of their kids in the hallway, they are not supposed to open the door. They're supposed, even if those kids, if they recognize their voices, they're not supposed to open the door because they're endangering the rest of the class.
Bridge senior writer Ron French examined what school districts across Michigan are doing to make schools more secure and to prepare students and teachers for the possibility of an active shooter in their building. So I want to start with a quote you have from Thornapple Kellogg music teacher Ray Rickert saying that there really is not a way to prepare for the real thing, but schools across Michigan do have to think about it. So what are some of the various ways that they go about preparing students and teachers for the possibility of an active shooter?
It's changed over the years. This has occurred in the past 20 years since Columbine. That sort of started everyone thinking about this. What do we have to do to prepare for this? You know, pray to God this never happens in our backyard type of situation. They're incredibly rare, but you can't just assume. I talk to teachers and administrators around the state. Even though they all acknowledge the chances of this happening are like getting hit by lightning twice, you can't not do something to prepare for this. So the old protocols after Columbine that were generally accepted around the country and including Michigan were to go hide in a corner of a room away from windows. If you have a closet or something, go into there and just sort of huddle there and stay quiet.
But French says now the plans go beyond that.
First, you try to lock the door. Actually, that is just about as effective as anything. But locking the doors of the classrooms. But then if an intruder with a gun does come into a room, you're not to just sit there and wait to be shot. You are to run around, try to distract the person, and throw things at them. And hopefully then, while you're throwing things, try to make a break for the door.
You were actually in Bronson, which is south of Kalamazoo, while they were going through a lockdown drill and demonstrating it. They did something where they were stacking desks. Now, how does that work?
Absolutely. And this is not that uncommon. In fact, at the University of Michigan, when there was a scare here about a few weeks ago, they did the same thing in the university library. But what Bronson does, it's a small town, and they're not an affluent school district. So their protocols are to lock the doors, but they also then create barricades in front of the classroom doors. And the class that I was in, it was a middle school class, and they were stacking desks in front of a door. And the principal was in the room at the time and gave them a critique and said, no, you got to have four desks at the bottom of the barricade so that you can stack them high enough that it reaches the top of the door.
French says the teacher in this classroom in Bronson keeps supplies in case someone with a gun gets through the barricade.
He had in his cupboard a large metal stapler that he would swing it at a shooter, and a can of, and this makes a lot of sense, a can of hornet spray, the kind of stuff that sprays into a nest and it sprays like 20 feet. So he keeps those there.
And yet, as going back to this fellow, Ray Rickert at Thornapple Kellogg Schools, he says it's sometimes challenging to get the students to take the drills seriously. What about teachers and administrators? Do they take these things seriously?
Absolutely. I spoke to at least a dozen teachers, administrators at a half dozen different school districts. All of them, to a one, all take this deadly serious. There was a teacher I spoke to in Ann Arbor, who has a speech she gives at the beginning of every school year where she says, your parents are sending you here to learn, but even more than that, they're sending you here to make on the assumption that you're going to get home at night. So your security is number one.
And schools are also tightening security in many ways, with the idea being that if there is someone with the idea of coming to the school and they want to fire a gun there, that they're not going to be able to have easy access. What are some of the things that schools are doing to just try and make their building more secure?
Something as simple as locking the outside doors. I know when my children were in elementary school, the doors were always open. But now almost all schools have their outside doors locked at all times, other than when the kids are coming in the morning, and that you have to buzz in. Oftentimes there's a camera there that someone in the office can see who they're buzzing in. Oftentimes there's only one entrance you can come in at that goes past the office. So there's that sort of minor thing. Many schools are hardening their classroom doors in some way, either putting on new locks or really there's sort of wedges you can use. They're very simple that really just prevent someone from opening the doors.
Bridge senior writer Ron French says some school security goes further.
I can tell you there's one district, at least in the state, that has gone to another extreme and has over 50 cameras, over 100 pull alarms that look like the old-fashioned fire alarms, you know, you could pull down on. But these are for intruders that immediately send the signal to the police station. And they have something that I'd never seen before. It's like a smoke alarm, but it's a firearm alarm that if a gunshot is fired, it senses the vibrations and the gun flash, and it immediately alerts the police.
Yeah, that's Glen Lake, the Glen Lake School District in Leelanau County, which is not a very big district. The year-round population in that area is not very large, gets a lot more people there in the summer when school's out. Just reading that, though, that is a pretty hefty price tag on all of this, isn't it? I mean, there's something you describe in here about a sort of industry of school technology equipment.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry now, Gordon. And there are trade shows every year where schools go and look at all the newest things. Glen Lake spent $150,000 on security just last year. Grand Blanc over by Flint, it's a large suburban district, and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars every year on security guards. They have like, I think, 27 security guards just at their high school complex.
But one teacher quoted in the Bridge story wonders if the money spent on classroom technology wouldn't be better spent on mental health services for students.
And we know that a lot of this is perpetrated by students, is getting students' mental health care at least as equally important as some security measures that schools are taking.
Ron French is senior writer for Bridge. As always, thank you very much for your time, Ron.
Thank you.
The stories on schools, security, and drills can be found at bridgemi.com and through links at wmuk.org. At our website, you can also hear the extended version of our interview, including the state requirements for school safety. You can also hear the full interview with Bridge senior writer Ron French on the WMUK app and through WMUK's West Southwest podcast from Apple iTunes and Google. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.